This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
It's on. Hello and a pleasant good morning. This is Guardian Radio and it's on the clock, Monday the 13th, March 2023. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversation that helps us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. This is On the Clock with Erin Green, and of course, this is not Erin Green's voice. It's because Erin Green was fighting Chickchawneys. No, I am serious. Erin Green was fighting Chickchawneys, and the Chickchawney won, and she ended up broken a foot. And because she broke a foot, I am in charge. I am in charge, and I now have a two-hour talking. But guess what? Erin Green is on Zoom. I said, man, Erin, you can't leave me by myself. I got to talk and conversate with somebody. So Erin said, okay, I'll come on Zoom with my broke foot. And I'm going to test now to see if she's there because we're on the clock. Erin, are you on?
Good yawning this morning.
How are you doing? How is the foot doing?
Listen, before you ask me that, let's do the polite thing and ask, how are the Chickchawneys doing?
I was told that they beat you bad.
Listen, I need you to consult with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs so we can clear this story up. Fortunately, the Chickchawneys are safe. They are at PMH. And after the big affair, everybody is okay.
So but, who has the cast? You or the Chickchawney?
I got the cast.
Oh?
I got the cast. I mean, I was the only one who could afford insurance at PMH.
I understand. I'm just happy you have insurance and didn't have to go to PMH.
Yeah, the great Chickchawney Tamarin wars have been settled, and everything is okay now.
I'm glad you're okay, and I wish you a speedy recovery and not too much pain. And I've never had any part of me broken, but I do not envy you at all.
Well, listen, I envy you greatly because of all of the injuries, a broken heart has been the most painful, and so this one I can make it work.
Now, but we're having a conversation. Today is a open line Monday. And of course, Erin has prepared one or two things that she wants to have a conversation about. Right. And I'll let you do that as I read your notes and go over it. But lead the conversation, even though you are kind of handicapped.
Absolutely. Not a problem. Good morning. Good yawning this morning. Bahamas joining you from a secret location. I want to start the show this morning by wishing a number of people happy birthday and happy belated birthday. I want to say happy birthday to Amanda Colson, Cherise Pratt, Rachel Whitehouse, and Kentario McKenzie, all celebrating birthdays today. I want to say happy belated birthday to Craig Cambridge, Alicia Roll, Deandra Cartwright. I want to send out very, very special happy birthdays, belated birthdays to two women, one Patty Solomon, a good friend of mine, and also to a very, very special woman in my life. Last week, I said, this week I want to say happy birthday to Joycelyn Frazier, a woman that raised me and a woman that helped me or was instrumental or integral in forming my identity as a Bahamian. You know, this is a woman who raised me. She was my housekeeper. And every day she reminded us that although her education may have been limited, right, due to the circumstances of growing up on a family island, she understood the importance of education. And her job was to ensure that I understood the importance of it and that I committed to doing my work, right, as a student. doing my job, which is focusing on my work. And in many other ways, she grew an appreciation within me for volunteerism, grew an appreciation within me for Family Island living in life. And most importantly, grew an appreciation within me for nationalism and what it means to be a part of a country. And in particular, when the Gulf War broke out, when the U.S. first entered Iraq, she pulled me to watch the TV and said, you know, I think this is an important global moment. We should watch it. And I looked at her and I asked, I said, hey, Joycelyn, what would you do if Sir Lyndon Pinlan told you, that's how young I was, that, you know, the prime minister told you it was time to go to war? And this may have been post 92, but, you know, she looked at me and she said, listen, if my prime minister is in the Bahamas to protect the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, well, then I go in on the beach where I come from and I collect in every conch shell and rock and piece of artillery that I could find to defend my nation. And that was a defining, you know, moment for me as a young Bahamian to understand what it meant to be a citizen of a nation and what it meant to take responsibility for yourself and your role in governance. And so, you know, with all of that, I want to say happy, happy belated birthday to a very special woman, a daughter of Andrew Soil, Joycelyn Fraser. Mr. Newry.
Hey.
Lots to talk about in the news. I want to throw an open line out there, but of all the subjects I want to talk about this morning, I want to talk about this story on the front page of today's Guardian. The headline is Retailers Fire Back at Talkeetis and Appeal for Meeting with Government.
They will meet with the government again?
Say?
They will meet with the government again?
I am concerned. I'm not sure if they have actually formally met with the government at all. I say formally, like a complete process of negotiation. You know, I think that the association itself is raising concern about the lack of communication. You know, the lack of communication between the association and the government.
And I would challenge you, Aaron. I would challenge you. Mr. Talkeetis already has spoken. He doesn't say if you're talking about an increase, he ain't prepared to entertain it. It already done finished with.
That's not quite what he... No, what he said was that the government is not prepared to do anything that would increase prices at the pump.
That's what I say.
But I think that's a good point to start with, Mr. Newry.
That's what I said. The man ain't prepared to entertain it.
No, no. He's not prepared to entertain any measures that would result in an increase in the price of gas for consumers. But I think this is a good position because there are a couple of measures that the government can employ that can accommodate the Gas Retailers Association, gas retailers, and also maintain this sort of small space of relief for consumers.
Then I need you to explain to me what that means. Because I hear, you keep on doing semantics and no, he didn't say that. But what I hear and what you're saying sound different. What exactly can be done?
Okay, so the Minister of State for Economic Affairs said that they don't want to take any measures that will increase prices at the pump.
Yes.
He's saying that an increase in margins for the gas retailers would result in an increase at the pumps for consumers.
Yes.
But that's only if the government cannot or does not reduce the margin of the other players involved. The government has a couple of options. The government can reduce its own quote unquote margin, right?
It can
reduce the amount of money it takes off the top.
I hear you, Aaron, and I need to flesh that out because I hear one. That's one. I disagree. Right. We need as much money as we can get We ain't giving. The government is now employing various other tax measures to make sure that we have enough money in the coffers to pay for all of these plans and initiatives and development that the Bahamas is on course on. So I hear you as your number one say the government can reduce, but I say no, that I'm not even entertaining that. But go ahead with your list.
Okay, so but we can get back to how the government can accommodate the adjustment within the within its system. So the second thing is the government could reduce the margins or profit for wholesalers, right? That's also another option. And if government and wholesalers work together, they can minimize, right? They can minimize their loss while still accommodating the retailers and the consumer at the pump.
Can government do that though? Reduce the wholesale? I thought the wholesalers outside the country. How can you tell the wholesaler not to make a profit and they have you have to import it?
Man, we can put price controls on anything that we deem necessary.
Imagine if the wholesaler said we ain't bringing nothing else.
Pardon?
Imagine if the wholesaler said we ain't bringing nothing else in the country.
Oh, no. I think some of our fuel... Well, and see, I want to make a distinction between fuel importers and wholesalers. And maybe at the state level, we need to make a distinction between fuel wholesalers and fuel importers, right? So that we can better assess and ascribe taxation. But within that space, there is a little, I think there is a little room to accommodate the gas retailers. Now, when we talk about the government, I feel you. The government extracts a whole lot of money from this, from the fuel and transportation industries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so to suggest a reduction in their margin or profit at the pump or the taxation at the pump is very problematic. But within the civil service, Mr. Newry, within the service itself and our relevant agencies, I think measures can be put in place that will reduce the amount of gas that government cars, red plates, and other government vehicles consume. And we can implement protocols to manage and moderate civil servant use. We can make staff pay for a percentage of gas use.
What?
Yeah. You heard me.
I hear the first word you said. I know who I can agree with that.
We can put trackers. We can put electronic monitoring devices and trackers in government vehicles to monitor the vehicle use and ensure that drivers are paying for their own fuel for runs that are not a part of their government, their daily tasks, or their government portfolio. We can make staff pay for weekend and holiday gas. And we can restrict use of red plates to on government time only. I know I'm stunning you a little bit, but you're still there?
I'm still here. I'm wondering how this helps the retailer. This makes the government more efficient in terms of expenditure.
It helps the retailer by making the government more efficient, thus making the government making reductions on the government's end more achievable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we can reduce the amount of money the government needs, then we can reduce the amount of the sector.
But now any extra money saved would now be allocated to other projects. The government is always need money. So no matter what you save, I now have access to spend the money someplace else.
Well, listen, without proper government agency management and oversight, without us implementing the mechanisms that exist and creating new mechanisms,
mm-hmm,
to manage government agencies to ensure that they're meeting their targets, that they're delivering on their deliverables. And so I was doing some research last night looking at the PMDU, the Prime Minister's Deliverables Unit, which looks essentially focuses on public sector and they're basically the government and government agencies' ability to deliver on policies and campaign promises, essentially. Government portfolios, MDU, if operating at full speed, is the perfect mechanism to to right size and properly align and properly moderate government agencies and expenditures. And I guess the right word is to reduce wastage in these agencies. Mm. And what we may find is that we are forcing associations and industry stakeholders like retailers, Gas Retailers Association, we're forcing them to take on draconian measures when turning inwardly to the public sector, to the public service, and reducing wastage, streamlining, and improving efficiency may be not just the viable, but the best solution and the best practice for these issues. Mm. But I got some more questions if you will entertain me before
I entertaining you. I hear what you're trying to say. I am smiling. And all I can do is shake.
There's also the consumer side of it, right? Like,
go ahead.
What can customers do to help the gas stations make more of their margin, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can increase the margin. The prices on the goods sold in these convenience stores are significantly higher than in other stores. So I think they've reached the cap on how high they can take the convenience goods in the stores. How do they save money, right? How do they reduce costs and save money?
Okay.
Well, one way to do it is to reduce your staff at the pumps, right?
So fire some people.
Right, but we don't want to fire people. That's always the last course of action. We don't necessarily need to fire people. And if we look at the pumps now, we don't have enough pump attendants, or the pump attendants we have are not moving efficiently and effectively. But that's not necessarily because of the pump attendants. I think it's all because of consumer and customer culture and behavior. So we the drivers can help the gas station save money.
But do we want to help the gas stations? Do we as a consumers want to help the gas stations?
That's what I'm saying. This is how we help the gas stations reduce their costs, so they don't, they have less to pass on to us. The first is we need to start pumping our own gas. Now, I'm not saying this is an attempt to put the gas attendant out of business, because there are going to be drivers who cannot pump their own gas, who on a particular occasion do not want to pump their own gas, like it's a Sunday morning, they're going to church, then the nice church clothes, they don't want to get them. It's a work week morning, you forgot to put gas in the car last night, you don't want to get your clothes dirty, you don't want to take that risk, especially if you work front desk a front office. So you want an attendant to pump for you. There are elderly people who are not going to want to pump their gas every time. Attendants are going to pump for you. But we can make this process more efficient. And maybe I should have started at the top. The gas retailer can make more of his margin if he can move more customers through his gas station on a daily basis. That's the only way he's going to make more money, is if he can move more customers through in a time period. So we can help him do that by ensuring that we are making the most of the space available to us in the gas station lot as we pull in. The first gas station on Shirley Street, once you're heading east from Village Road, Uri?
Mm-hmm.
There's a very tight entrance there, and I find that consumers pull in, but they pull in and they block the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
So they may pull in and block the entrance waiting for the first two pumps, while the last two pumps further into the station are empty and nobody's using them, right? And so if we're more mindful as drivers, how we occupy the space that we're in at the gas station, if we're more mindful as drivers about the time that we're taking to pump our gas, to pay for the gas, to get the car turned over and moving, we can help gas stations make more of their margins by improving our own efficiency and moving faster, being ready with our money to pay the attendant when he's ready to pay, being willing to go and pay for our own gas when we see that the attendant has two or three more cars to get to before they put in all the requests for gas across the pumps. These are things that we could do. Sometimes it's just about moderating your own behavior and can create an entire change in the industry.
You're talking about a number of people who turn, still turn left on red, knowing that it's against the law now without a sign. You're going to try to convince these people to be more efficient and pump their gas?
Well, I tell you what, the one thing that motivates Bahamians and motivates them to shift culture is money. Hmm. And perhaps that's what we need to focus on, the amount of money that we can save by simply moderating our behavior. And I think that's the thing. That's why I think that enforcement, as soon as the Royal Bahamas Police Force begins to enforce this traffic law, see that the behavior changes.
I have a text here, Aaron, mm-hmm. says the government can increase the profit margin of operators without increasing the prices at the pump by adjusting its profit margin. However, this administration wants the grocery wholesalers and the gas retailers to partner, in quotes, with them and make sacrifices that it, in its own right, is not prepared to do. And the caller says, Texas says, BS. And I'm not prepared to have, substituting the government with Bahamian people, I'm not prepared to have the Bahamian people have a decrease in taxes. I say that if the taxes is there, we need as much money as we get. I hear the people complaining, but I don't believe in decreasing the taxes. I'm just saying that.
Well, I mean, there are other concessions that should be available to gas retailers and gas station owners, like a reduction on VAT on utilities or exemptions on utilities.
Okay. I like that. I like that.
I mean, you know, absolutely, there should be, a reduction in electricity rates, perhaps charge them at a lower rate or hit a minimum, like you have a deductible, hit a minimum before they have to start paying. But something has to work. Not only is fuel retailing an essential service, but this country cannot run. The country will not work if people are not able to get to where they need to go. The effective and efficient movement of people, goods, and services is the backbone of your economy. You know, on the government engaging any mechanisms to respond to any actions taken by the gas retailers. That could be, you know, anything from reduced hours to striking, right? To firing staff, all the way, you know, to closing gas stations. I don't see a government preparation of a response to any action.
That is scary. But Aaron, has the gas retailers, publicly proposed any alternative besides increases in the price profit margin? Have they said, okay, government, would you consider this instead of, since you don't want us to increase profit margin? Have you heard anything?
I haven't heard anything. So I caught parts of a report from Eyewitness News last week before the end of the week, where Eyewitness News, I think, was able to gain access to the gas retailers meeting, but sort of at the tail end of the meeting, and they may have, on the appearance of the media, shut down their discussions. But from what was reported, the Gas Retailers Association declined to indicate what measures they were considering. They just said that they are considering measures. And that we should listen out and be prepared. And they are continually requesting engagement from the government on this matter.
And Aaron, I don't like how that sounds. That sounds sinister. That sounds like whatever decision they are about to make will impact the public. And I don't think that's right. I just don't think that's right.
Well, I'll give them the benefit if they were not expecting the Eyewitness News reporter. And that their presence may have disrupted the meeting before they came to a conclusion about the way forward even, right? and they may have just had an emergency adjournment of the meeting. But I got another, a couple more questions here for the Retailers Association. If you are looking at the article in today's Guardian, Retailers Fire Back at Alkaidis, from first page to page three, Vasco Bastian, I think in charge of the Retailers Association, is quoted as saying, I asked the Minister of Economic Affairs, Mr. Michael Alkaidis, I asked him if he could reconsider his position that he has taken in regards to the gas station operators and owners throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And so I want to sort of stick a pin there because I think maybe this is a problematic approach to the negotiations. My first question is this. Is Mr. Alkaidis, the Minister of State for Economic Affairs, making these decisions? Is this his decision, A? B, if it is his decision, is he making it in isolation? Or which agencies does he and, you know, the Ministry of Finance, who do they interact with? Which agencies do they interact with to make these decisions? And is the Gas Retailers Association addressing the wrong individual or the wrong body?
That's an interesting question. I don't see that anyone is oscillating or ventilating that, you know, that position.
Absolutely. And, you know, in terms of the rest of the conversations we're hoping to have this week, you know, a question is raised on how are these decisions made? Who are the stakeholders involved? At what point in the process are various stakeholders engaged? And for this specific conversation, right, this specific conversation, when will the Bahamian driver, the Bahamian licensee, right, the Bahamian driver's license holder, the Bahamian car owner and car license holder, if you need to a more specific number, right, when will we be consulted as stakeholders in this discussion?
Aaron, I see we have a telephone caller here, and there's a text line that's saying, how can the retailers make money when there are so many gas stations and they're also in close radius to one another? And I say, they're making money, eh? Despite how close they are across the street, and yet they're making a profit. So I hear the texter, but I don't think that's an issue. But let's connect with this caller to engage you, Aaron. Go ahead, caller. Producer Patrick, call it through.
Is that me?
Yeah, it's you.
Okay, godly days is our universe. We need justice, law in this country, the Bahamas. Too much injustice happening in this country. But what I want to ask, Aaron, right?
Yes.
The gas stations that sell food, right? So what they have license for? They have license for gas or to sell food?
For both. What the gas station owners and managers are saying is that they need the convenience store arm to be able to make ends meet.
Like, okay, you made a statement pertaining to their land. In other words, their parking or drive-in facilities, right? They should consider that because if people want to get there to buy food, it's going to occupy a lot of space. And if they want to get gas, they also could make people inconvenient who want to get there for food. Other thing is, the main thing is here, whatever they do, I don't want it to fall to the Bahamian public, especially handicapped people like me, because right now the jitney, some jitneys want to charge money and are physically blind, plus a senior. So they, not only that, if they put a taxes on the people, then when I go to the food store, I got to pay more tax also as a handicapped person. So
yes.
Government got to, them and government got to decide what is right. When I used to go to school, I used to serve gas, okay,
mm-hmm.
In the evening and go home in the night to get dressed to go to school next morning. But what I'm trying to say is that people who doesn't serve gas themselves, individuals, that can mm-hmm. be dangerous.
Yeah, it's not something
thank you
can...
Thank you very much, Bremen.
Thank you, Bremen.
But Aaron, you started off by giving some suggestions on what the government / the retailers can do. And have we considered even staggering the taxes? I know we have the VAT tax where you're going to pay all at a particular time. Can we say, okay, as a retailer, I understand that you're not making a profit as you wish. However, mm-hmm. you can pay part of your VAT tax at the beginning of the year and then part the remaining at the end of the year if you're... the money that you are making work more for you. You're able to invest and make more profit that way. And I know you mentioned the paying of light utilities and stuff like that, a discount.
Yeah.
I say perhaps the solution is finding alternative ways on how the retailers can save money or make a profit or greater profit.
Absolutely. Here's something that's interesting, right? So, in doing some research on a couple of articles, I discovered that there is a concession that's available to hotels, right? So, I was looking at a document called Revamping the National Investment Policy of the Bahamas, produced by the Bahamas Investment Authority, Digitized and Efficient. It's actually produced by the Economic Recovery Committee, right? Under the headline, Revising Current Concessions. And this document is providing recommendations for the revamping or revising of the national investment policy. Under the headline, Revising Current Concessions, it says, one area of recommendation for reduced incentives is that of the length of time available for claiming an exemption of real property taxes for hotels under the Hotels Encouragement Act.
Mm.
Up to the time that this document was put together, the act allows for real property tax exemption for 10 years for a hotel with the ability to extend for another 10 years.
So that's an option.
Now, this
not
act
10 years, though.
The act was introduced in 1954, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the tourism industry is sufficiently developed that we can adjust this concession, only providing it for hotel startups in remote rural parts of the Bahamas, right? If we revise or amend this concession for hotels, then we can provide a similar concession for gas station owners, managers, and retailers, where the gas retailer doesn't own the station but is renting, the reduction in real property tax for the property owner will be passed on through reduced rents for the gas retailer. Right? So we have, the government has mechanisms available to accommodate, accommodate the retailer.
And Aaron, I want you to explain that. And I see we have another caller here and we'll patch after you explain this, right? You say you're suggesting that they take back the benefit of the exemption of the property tax from the hotels?
Is that what you remember, said? This law was passed in 1954.
Mm-hmm.
This Hotel Encouragement Act. And from this document, it doesn't appear that this part of the act was amended. I don't think that the vast majority of hotels that exist today require an exemption, a 10-year exemption in real property tax to be able to establish themselves and start making money. Like if Pharrell Williams wants to come to the Bahamas, as he's doing right now, to create a hotel as a part of the Atlantis, I think, brand or body called Somewhere Else, that entity does not, in my estimation, require a real property tax exemption. And certainly not for 10 years. So maybe you reduce the exemption for a year or 2 years, right? And you use the rest of the money that you will be receiving from real property tax from year two on, you use that to subsidize the exemptions and concessions that you're now providing for the gas retailers.
I'm not going to openly reject that. I mean, it's something to hash out. I understand. I see you thinking of a box. But let's go to this caller so the caller can engage you. Producer, patch the caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello? Hello. Go ahead. I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, good. I just goes out to Errol Green. Berman just called and asked her what kind of license the gas station have, and she answered it.
No, they have two different type of license. They have one for the gasoline and one for the shop.
Yeah, that's what I said. And they say that they need the shop to be able to produce, to be able to balance. They're saying without the shops and the high prices in the shops, they wouldn't be able to survive.
Well, I thought that it was under one name, general license, sell anything. I could be wrong, mind you.
I'm gonna check that out.
Thank you very much, and thank you for
inquiring whether there's a distinction or not, because perhaps we need to change the way that we identify businesses and then apply taxes, right? And that may be beneficial in creating a different type of regime.
Thank you very much, caller.
I know it is general license. Sell anything.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
That makes me wonder which type of license do the Chinese have to sell liquor and then sell food? Or that's just a restaurant license. But anyway, I digress. Go ahead, Aaron.
So I think that the point at which Halkidis says, the minister responsible, says that the government doesn't want to engage any action that results in an increase at the pump for consumers or an increased burden for consumers, we hold him to that point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we engage him with the measures that the state can take and that wholesalers can take to reduce the burden to the consumer at the gas retailers. But I think it's important for us, the consumer, also to focus on the moderation of our own behavior. Like Brayman asked, you know, why are there so many gas stations in the same area? Why, you know, one across the road from the other? So there's a couple of things. You won't find the same brand of gas necessarily jammed up next to each other. You'll find different brands of gas. And that's because typically people want to put the same type of gas in their car. And I tend to stick with one type of gas, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's become a practice after having purchased some contaminated gas. It also helps you to track if anything goes wrong where you got your gas from.
We're going to take a short break, Aaron, and because the 45-minute break. But I want you to consider this from a texter. It says, Aaron and CA, the Bahamian people do not need a dollar wine or do not need a dollar wine with these gas station retailers. If they strike, please know that me and other businessmen will enter the market and would service the people. If they want to close, then let them close. That's something that they need to consider. But anyway, this is On the Clock with Aaron Green, and I'm sitting in the studio, and Aaron is zooming in with us. We're having a discussion about what is going to happen with the gas retailers and government. It seems that the minister is stenching, saying, once it have to do with increasing the price, he ain't entertaining it. But Aaron has exposed that there are other ways. There are other ways that we can help the retailers. And these things must be hashed out and considered. We'll be right back.
Always now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. This is C.A. Nuri, and I am in studio while Aaron is here via Zoom. And I have a text, Aaron, that says, good morning. The problem we have with our government is poor management of government ministries, poor accounting, and no accountability. With all the fuel tax and road traffic fees, why are our roads so bad? It comes back to freedom of information. Us citizens have no idea where our tax money is spent. Accountability and communications need enormous improvement. Well, I agree with you with that. Go ahead, Aaron.
I mean, absolutely. And the question of how much tax the government receives from gas and where it's allocated is a central part of this discussion. How does the government justify, right? How does it justify taking this share, right, off the top? And where is it put? And how do you justify it if you are not putting these taxes or this revenue directly into road management and infrastructure management? And so it leads to the people. It's fine that you say you don't want to make a decision that ends up burdening the consumer, but it appears as if every decision you make has ended up burdening the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have properly designed roads. We don't have properly paved roads. For the last 10 years, you've tried to convince us that patching a road is the same as paving a road.
Mm-hmm.
You won't provide oversight for road usage. You don't monitor who is using and damaging the road, right, through defective equipment and defective vehicles and a disregard for the traffic controls. You're not repairing infrastructure when it's broken. You're not repairing lights. You're not replacing stop signs and traffic signs and road signs. You're not repainting lines in the road.
But Aaron,
and so the question is...
Mm-hmm. And I hear you all that. And I agree with you all that. And perhaps we need to restructure our tax system to indicate how the money is being spent. But I want to ask you this. Gas retailers are preparing to do something. We see them in their meetings. We see they warn the public and say, be prepared. We're planning to do something. We see the other day one lady doing voice note, right? And the voice note went viral and long lines, people trying to get gas. I want to know if these retailers prepare to do a demonstration, strike, whatever you call it, remove their services, less days, less hours in terms of making availability gas to the public. Are you prepared as a consumer to say, man, I understand. I understand what you're going through and our government wrong. Our government need to do something. I can suffer the hardship.
Oh, boy. This is problematic because prior to Friday morning, I would have told you, sure, because I could walk to work. Sure, it may take me an hour and a half, but I could walk to work. Today, I can't make that same decision because I can't walk to work. I can work from home right now, but as soon as the generator, right, as soon as the power supply for the communications infrastructure that feeds my community, my neighborhood, my house. As soon as that runs out of fuel, then I can't work from home either, right? Mm. And so I think that I can live with it, but I expect if there is drastic action, right, that it won't be for long. And I'll tell you why. Anything, no matter what it is, whether it's a reduction in hours, a reduction in staff, or a wholesale strike, longer than the pharmaceutical association's strike went on for. A. B, I don't think that I think the government is aware. I think the government is aware that it cannot tolerate a strike. But more importantly, a strike will not work until you're certain that the government gas storage facilities are dry.
But the government gas facility is for government employees, or at least certain government employees. They can't sustain all of the Bahamas, especially on the family island.
But what I'm saying is the government may not consider it a crisis until it hits them. They may not even have the capacity. They may not even have the empathic ability to consider it, to even acknowledge it, let alone acknowledge it as a crisis until it hits their gas tanks.
I want to ask you another question. If the retailers do strike, can the government arrest one or two of them? Say, man, you're all putting a national security issue. Therefore, all your lockup. I fanging everybody.
Now, I don't think there are any provisions in law that permit that.
Oh, they look like they're going to strike then. That's what we need to brace ourselves. Perhaps it's now is the time to really do full up just in case.
No, I don't think so.
Don't full up?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that living in a hurricane zone and within a country that's been experiencing an energy crisis for the last 30 years, I would assume that everybody has been filling their car. For instance, my rule is typically don't let the car drop below half. When you approach in half, that's when it's time to fill up.
But can you survive a week-long strike?
I think with a filled car, I could survive a week-long strike. The question is, for people who are living a considerable distance from where they work, people who have children they have to drop to school because we don't have functioning public transportation systems for students, and for people who have multiple stops, like they get kids going to multiple schools, they ain't gonna be able to make it.
And during COVID and the lockdown, we know that a number of private individuals were selling gas from, like, they became entrepreneurs and were selling retail gas. Can that come into effect if the strike comes, or they need a special license?
No, they need you have to be licensed to sell gas, but more importantly, that's very dangerous. We don't encourage that. And PMH is already having a problem with maintaining supplies like toilet paper. So we don't want to put any undue pressure on our public healthcare systems. We're not encouraging people to store gas improperly. We're not encouraging people to start hustling and selling gas. We're certainly not encouraging people to transfer gas through unregulated means, like siphoning gases with hoses. It's not just a safety risk, a public safety risk. It's a health risk as well in inhaling these fumes. And so I don't expect them to strike. And if they do strike, I don't expect them to strike longer than it takes to empty the government's gas storage facilities.
Man, that could be a week. But Aaron, I know we soon close, right? It's already on the top of the hour. Right?
Yeah.
You said that you might be prepared to walk. But I want to know, has the government suggested what they will do if a strike occurs? What is the plan?
No.
So we just get caught off guard.
Yeah, no, I don't think they have suggested that. I'm not sure what's happening. What I do say is this, from I heard the Minister of State say they're not prepared to do anything that will result in a burden to the consumer it makes me feel like they are considering other options. They're definitely considering other options. And then the question is, at what point in time will we, the car owners and license holders, be brought in as stakeholders in the conversation?
Okay. You live in hope. But I close with this. Texas says they need to put some reflectors on the road lines in before someone gets killed. That's an urgency. This has been On the Clock with Erin Green. Erin Green is home because she had an accident with a chick shiny, but she's recovering quickly, and we hope to have her back in the studio soon. This has been C.A. Nuri, and have a wonderful day.